Welcome to the Road Back to Life with Ashley and Dawn, a program brought to you by patients for patients with kidney disease and their families, hosted by the Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. Now here's your hosts, Ashley and Dawn. Hello and good morning. We have an incredible woman on the show today. Not only did she grow up with a father who had kidney disease and went through many of the steps that we have, so kidney failure, dialysis, and then on to transplant, she also now helps kidney patients. And I'm sorry, but I'm a little biased. If you help kidney patients, then you are one of my people, because that's what we do too. So good morning, Mala, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
We're really excited to hear your story, and I think that it's going to be as inspiring for the people who listen as it was for us. And then, of course, we have Dawn. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning, Mala. What a wonderful day this is going to be. People are going to hear from the perspective of an individual such as yourself, who was part of a family dealing with kidney failure and transplant and dialysis. So I'm excited. Let's get it going.
All right, Mala. So why don't you just go ahead and start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a mom. I've got two kids, almost 13-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. I'm a daughter, friend. I work for a company that has Natera, that has a new test for kidney patients to detect rejection. And so that's a huge part of who I am today as well. And I have a background in rehab counseling. So I'm a counselor as well, partly. I'm not quite practicing with a license, but that I would still say that's who I am with what I do today. And I'm happy to be here and share my story.
Great. Well, we're glad that you are here. This is just kind of background for our listeners here. Why do you find it important to tell your story?
So I find it important to tell my story because I think my story is one of hope. My dad was young when he had his transplant, and he was in his 40s, early 40s. And I was in elementary school when he was diagnosed. So, and he had his transplant for 30 years. Wow. And so I feel like we've, you know, it was a long journey. And if you think about that, that's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to imagine, a lot to go through. Mm-hmm. And it's very devastating. And I just want families to know that they're not alone, that it is a journey. With highs and lows, but it's possible to go through it and to have a happy, healthy life despite the diagnosis.
And we know it was your father who had kidney disease, but how did your father having kidney disease affect your entire family?
Well, with what I do for work, I think it's affected me in every aspect of my life. But we grew closer, we grew stronger. It was my dad, my mom, me and my sister. And it just became part of who we are. It became part of our everyday. We learned to take things one day at a time. Mm-hmm. We learned to embrace all the, even the smallest of good things. And the bigger good things, graduation, getting married, having kids, mom and dad having grandkids. I think we celebrated, you know, outwardly, but inwardly even stronger, just knowing what we went through to get to that point. So that was huge, just to be able to not take that for granted. So I think that was a huge part of how we lived every day. And the hard days, we just took it as it came. And you know, we realized that it didn't last forever. Mm-hmm. If Dad had a hard night or a hard day, he was okay the next day. He was better. And we didn't know when those days were going to come. But we were prepared. We just accepted that's how it was going to be. And we just kept going, I guess, you know, I don't know another way to say it. But, you know, even the small things, we made sure during the winter that before we even left the house, we checked. Does Dad have a vest on? Does he have a jacket on? Is his chest protected so he doesn't have a cold? Is he wearing a scarf? And I remember even my sister and I were, you know, the little clothing police. He would put on his jacket, not with his scarf. Dad wears a scarf. No, 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 I'm fine. Mom, Dad's not wearing a scarf. It just, we just did it without even thinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was part of our everyday. You know, and then planning trips. After transplant, we prepared for them. We planned for them. We planned to go. But we just never knew.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen? Are we going to be able to leave tomorrow? Is Dad going to feel okay tomorrow morning to go? Mm-hmm. Dinners out with friends, same thing. We had a huge family social circle, a huge friend social circle within our community. And every weekend it was something or the other, which was great. But we miss some fun opportunities. And so that's how it affected us. I think not only did it bring us closer and stronger as a family, but we just had to kind of go with the ups and downs and learn how to do that.
And can you tell us, because I know that you had mentioned it before, how it affected your day-to-day and your childhood. Tell us a little bit about how you helped with medication and what that kind of looked like.
Yeah. So that was just part of my day-to-day. I didn't even think about that. So like I said, I was really young when all of this happened. And so, you know, I was probably the only 11, 12-year-old who knew what nephrotic syndrome was. That was his diagnosis. What the kidneys do. Very strongly what the kidneys do. That you only needed one, that, you know, all of that, what dialysis was, what creatinine was, and that was a big number that we checked on. I mean, I still remember the range, BUN, potassium, all of that, that he had to do with his regular labs. And those numbers, those ranges, for years, I had memorized. And so we made sure that he went for routine labs. He was very good about it, but knowing when he was supposed to go, knowing when those results were supposed to come out. Dad, did you get your lab results? What were your numbers? And he would just, and I'd say creatinine, BUN, potassium. Okay, good, good. Oh, that's a little high.
And how old were you at this time?
He had his transplant when I was about 13. So after that, for sure, from 13 on, but even younger, it was, you know, knowing these words. And dosing his, so he was on cyclosporin, was his anti-rejection medication, way before it was even in pill form. So we drew it up, it was in the liquid form, and we would drew, my sister and I fought over who got to do it in the mornings for him, because it was really fun. We would draw it up in a syringe, put it in his orange juice. We knew exactly how much juice to give him, because, you know, wanted to make sure about his sugars and that, not affecting him. So was just with a little bit, but we would do that. All the names of these medications, like Cyclosporin, Imuran, Mevacor, Coumadin, everything that he was on, him sitting Sunday mornings and making his pill box is just ingrained in my brain. Like I can see it, you know, sitting at the table. It's just, it was all just part of life. But I, you know, just being a 12-year-old or 13-year-old who knew what creatinine was and what creatinine levels should be, just, you know, I remember thinking that, gosh, that's cool that I know this, but why? You know, why am I the only 13-year-old who has to know what this is? But, you know, it was part of our everyday and we just went with it. But, and I think that just made me who I am. I think that was just part of my life. So we all took a part, we all played a part in making sure that he was taking his medications and that we knew what his meds were, when he was supposed to take them, what his lab levels should be. And so I think that's, you know, kind of how we managed and how we kind of dealt with it.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked before. So those who are listening out there, if you haven't figured it out before, but we've talked with Mala and got an idea about what she went through and how her family coped and so on and so forth. And that's why we're sharing it with you. But there is a portion of this that I think it's kind of humorous, but it's everyday life for a transplant recipient. And that these are the things that after your father had his transplant that changed how your family did things, even planning trips.
Absolutely. It was all with the caveat that, okay, we'll plan, we're planning on going, but only when we woke up the next day did we know whether we're actually leaving or not. And that was just how we settled with it all. It was just our reality. And when we were able to go, even more excited. So that was great. And if we weren't, deep breath, no problem, Dad. We're here for you. We understand. He felt bad enough. We weren't going to add to that. We said, you know, we'll go again. We'll go another time. It's okay. And we just went on with our day.
Mm-hmm. What about your trip to India when you thought you were going to go about 2 months after your dad's transplant?
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's a big thing because I think it's, you know, a lot of families that are going through this, you know, A, they don't realize themselves, and B, for sure, people around them, you know, you have your transplant and you think you're quote unquote cured. You think you're going to be back to normal after a normal healing period. Mm-hmm. That's it. Couple weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, you know, and you're good as new. Like this is, you've got this brand new kidney and now you're going to be able to do everything you ever wanted to do and nothing's going to stop you. And that's not the reality. So my mom and dad's family, they're from India. My parents born and raised there. And so their siblings' parents are all there. And we typically used to go every 2 to 3 years. And so it was time we went. I remember when he was first diagnosed and hadn't started dialysis or anything yet, but was sick. And then we were thinking, okay, well, you know, Dad was on dialysis. And if he has his transplant by even April, then we will go in June, maybe July, but we'll be able to go mm-hmm. in that summer, a couple months after. Like that's plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Well, he had his transplant in March. And we loved going to India. It's one of our favorite, you know, favorite times, our favorite summers. And so we were super excited, my sister and I, because we were like, oh, this is even better, March. Like we're definitely going. So great. Yeah, we went 7 years later. It took forever. Not only did it take, you don't heal that fast. I mean, you do, you know, your surgery and everything, yes, but it's not, you don't recover that quickly, and it's not back to normal as you think, and you just don't bounce back. It takes time and you have to be extra careful, and going to India meant a lot of protection against, you know, added illness, added, you know, things like that. And so we just probably ended up being extra, extra precautious about when we can go. And I think a lot of it too was just getting over PTSD of it all, I guess, in a sense that, you know, are we strong enough? Are we prepared? Are we, you know, is this really happening? Is dad actually, like, is this behind us? Is this behind us? And can we go make this trip? And that took 7 years to do, which, oh my gosh, when he had his transplant, we had no idea, And I talk to patients now who just, you know, especially the young ones, and they tell me that their friends, you know, maybe even family just don't, they all think that they should bounce back quickly and they don't, and they feel bad themselves. They feel like something is wrong with them. Why am I not back to normal? I thought I was going to be, I thought this was going to fix everything. I thought this was my new lease on life. This was going to make everything better. Mm-hmm. And while it does to a degree, it doesn't at the same time. There's always challenges and you just don't realize that. And you feel very isolated when you're like, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And, but that's not the case. It's just part of going through a transplant that there's a process, there's a long haul with it that just doesn't go away. It's always with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that message is important because, you know, I think it's hard enough to go through something like this, but to feel like you did something wrong or you're not recovering the way you should, or things aren't going for you the way it goes for others, that's really hard. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, families should know and should hear that that's not, you know, always the case. And sometimes it is going to be your everyday forever. And that's just how it goes. So,
yeah. Yeah. And quite honestly, it all varies, from person to person, and age may have something to do with it and so on and so forth. But, you know, when your immune system has been taken all the way down to almost nothing and they build it back up to where it's still tolerable for the new kidney and your body to accept each other, your immune system is still down. And so the things you used to do, the places you used to eat, maybe not so good anymore. Yeah. Going down to the local buffet, that's not a good one for me. There's too many people handling those forks and stuff. So, you know, it's a, yeah. So you got to be extra cautious. And in the meantime, you're thankful for the gift somebody's given you. And you don't want to do anything to lose that. So sometimes we border on the other side and we get really, really cautious. And it takes a while for us to find our footing and mellow that out. Mm-hmm. And that's, but I love the fact that, you know, I didn't know, my daughter and my wife went through our car and wiped it all down to make sure it was sanitized before I came out of the hospital. They wiped down the doorknobs, the doors, everything, put a sign outside, said visitors, I think it said visitors are welcome, please call ahead or something like that. So, and they would run interference and make sure nobody had a cold or something like that that was coming. So I understand that, but people don't who've never been there and are starting the process. And families don't think about that quite often. They're thinking about, boy, we can go early to India. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you just, like Don said, you just tend to do things that, you know, as time goes on, you realize, oh gosh, I should be a little extra careful about this, or, you know, I can't eat this or I can't eat that. And it's just not something that you're told ahead of time. It's not something that you think of, you know, your first thought is, oh my gosh, my transplant, this is happening. This is great. Everything is going to go back to normal. Mm-hmm. And it does to a certain degree, but with accommodations and with some thought, you know, of things a little bit ahead of time have mm-hmm. to be done. So, and yes, it can be pretty comical looking back and thinking mm-hmm. about some of that. So, you know, it's just, that's kind of how we managed.
It's just a new normal for everybody, a new normal. And I know that was a surprise for me after transplant. So I appreciate your honesty with talking about your dad and how, you know, that changed things. Things were a little different after transplant because I wasn't ready for it either because I was a young transplant recipient as well. It's a little bit different for everybody, but yeah, it's a new normal. And once you get your footing, like Dawn said, it's totally worth it. Mm-hmm. I mean, life after transplant is totally worth it. I would say anyway.
And in this day and age, people out there now are beginning to find out what the new normal is.
Yeah. You know? new normal after something traumatic.
Yes.
So it's not just a kidney recipient or any transplant recipient that has to find their way and get their footing after receiving a transplant. Our whole country, and in fact, the world is having to find its way into, you know, something similar, you know,
exactly.
What's the safest way we can go about entering this world and getting our life back.
Yes.
And it takes time. And some are, you know, more eager to start than maybe they should. And others are not so willing to give up the mask and the 6 feet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right here too. Absolutely. Yes.
So it's kind of an, the world is kind of getting an idea, even though they haven't had a transplant, of what a recipient of a transplant may be going through. You've got to find
very
your
true.
Footing in this. You got to be comfortable with the life that's been given you. You don't want to not live it. You
exactly.
want to live it to its fullest, but that fullest may not be what somebody else would consider full. But for you, it's a miracle. And I know for me, it's an absolute miracle. And I think I can safely say for Bob and I know Ashley shaking her head and thumbs up and stuff, you know,
and
I'm sure your dad would too. It's a fact that you don't have to plan around dialysis. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. You can eat more of the foods that you were probably eating before. Always keeping in the back of my mind anyway, I'm very conscious about sodium,
mm-hmm.
Very conscious about dairy products, you know, phosphorus, potassium, all that stuff.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I can go out and have a meal and maybe tonight's the night I'm going to have French fries and it's got salt on it. You know, but that doesn't mean I have it every night. That means I have it maybe once or twice a year, maybe once or twice a month. It depends.
Yeah. We learn the words, everything in moderation.
Yep.
Yes.
So for us, that was, that's how we, you know, we played it. Yes, Dad, you can have this, watch it. And that's it for right now, but go ahead, you know, so just not again tomorrow and the next day.
Well, we are coming close to the end of our time here. I think now would be a good time to take a break. And Mala, you can come back for the part two. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
We'll be doing a part two to this. We thank you for listening out there. We thank you, Mala, for your input and stuff, and we look forward to what you're going to have to say on the next. So for Don and Ashley, see you next time.
This is Ashley and Don and the team at The Road Back to Life saying thank you for listening to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don and for allowing us to be a part of your journey. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at www.theroadbacktolife.com. Also, consider subscribing to our channel so we can keep you updated with new content and videos. Remember, we're all in this together. Now go out and be kind to one another.